The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
12:06. Here at News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And oh, do we have a big show for you? And I have a question for you. Is there anything that's been really, really important in your life, and for whatever reason, you just decided to stop fighting for it? Because I have a couple of answers at, you know, different ends of the human experience. But the reason I bring this up is because coming up at 12:30 this afternoon, we're going to talk to a community activist who drove one of those rolling billboards around Seattle. And it's a picture of Seattle police cars on fire during the downtown Seattle rioting. And the caption on it is, "Are you sick of this? So are we. Vote Republican." Suggesting, and with good reason, that it is the politics of our region that have led to so much crime and violence, and we've seen so much looting in Philadelphia for the last three nights now. Two nights ago, 1,000 looters just picked clean an entire neighborhood of stores. Here in Seattle, we have this the wackiest proposition. The city council wants to eliminate misdemeanor crimes. So if somebody walks into a store to shoplift, if they are either a drug addict or poor, that would be a defense. It would be called duress, that they're poor and or a drug addict. And so that would be how and why they get off a crime. And I'm going to talk with this community activist, Ari Hoffman, at 12:30 this afternoon. But one of the things that a lot of people are wrestling with, a lot of good common sense people, do you stand and fight for a city you love, or do you just abandon it and watch it go even faster down the toilet? And I've told you that, you know, my critics all the time, if you hate this region so much, why don't you just leave? Well, because I don't hate the region. I love the city. City where I was born, where I grew up, where my wife and I chose to raise our kids. I don't want to just run. I don't want it to continue to go down the sewer, as has been happening. But I also understand the tremendous obstacles for those of us who are fighting for the soul of this region. And one is the public schools, where we've had all of these examples of propaganda, where kids are being trained in the schools to hate police officers, to hate politicians if they don't have a D next to their name. And there are many teachers, and we've had several audio examples in the last couple of months, of teachers who are not about teaching kids how to think, but they are there to teach kids, in their sick, twisted view, exactly what to think. And so for those of us fighting to try to keep the spiral from continuing in our region, it's just absolutely heartbreaking. So do you keep fighting, or do you just say, no, I'll just find a different part of the country? I think you know my personality by now. I'll keep fighting for the people and the places and the things that I love. But it's getting tougher and tougher. So we'll talk to the guy who's rolling this billboard trying to change a political tone in a city where that seems to be impossible, to do. So we'll do that right after the news at the bottom of the hour. But text me. Is there anything that you love dearly and you just decided you didn't want to keep fighting for it? I have another very personal one that I'll share with you a little bit later, too. So we'll get to all of that as we get started here. I do have an example of the revolving door of crime in our region. Let us begin with our big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
If you were listening to this show, oh gosh, it was almost a year and a half ago. We talked to a local man who was the victim of a brutal hate crime attack. His name is Sandeep Ray. He was at the Kenmore Safeway store just picking up a pizza. And when he came out, he was the victim of an absolutely horrific crime that was caught on video. And he told us his concern if this attacker gets out again. Well, the attacker's getting out. And the victim, Sandeep Ray, joins me again here on the Dory Monson Show. Sandeep, I appreciate you coming back on with me. I know that this is a really difficult time for you right now.
Yeah, it is. And now since he's already out, so I'm much more concerned about my safety because this guy had been doing all this felony since 2004. I mean, he was in for 3 years, you know, and now he's out, and I believe he will resume his criminal activities again. You know, 17 felonies from 2004 to 2017, as per the public court record online. You know, anyone can go and see the 17 court cases in detail. And I believe every time the police get him inside, and his influential dad, David Kraft, who is a criminal defense attorney and owned 5 firms. You know, I believe David Kraft owned law in this state. You know, every time this guy, and that's the reason the police couldn't contain him in prison, because every time he goes in for a crime, his dad gets him out.
Yeah. Let me jump in here. So the attacker, his name is William Kraft, and you're telling me it's his dad is his attorney who keeps getting him released, despite the fact that he has 17 felonies in a 13-year period. So before I get to the latest, remind my listeners, if they weren't listening when you came on with me in May of last year, remind my listeners what this man did to you. You were just walking out of the Safeway store. He appeared to be homeless. He rips off his shirt. He starts choking you out with his shirt, and then he just starts raining punches at your head and face. All correct?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think I was, he was upon me, and he put his right hands in my left forehead. So my left forehead was totally swelled like a potato. And, I passed out. I indeed passed out, and then he took my pizza and left. And I believe he tried his best to kill me, and I think he stopped because there were nearby public, you know, who came in my rescue, and, you know, he had to stop. And then when I came in my sense, I called 911. The police came. I was taken to the, local Kaiser emergency, urgent care. They had a CT scan and all this stuff.
Sandeep, he wasn't just beating on you, but he was also yelling racial slurs at you as well, correct?
The racial slur started prior to the attack, when he pounced on me. You know, he was calling me, you know, like very filthy racial names. And just before that, he had been escorted out of the Kingsgate Kirtland Safeway store by the management, because he was also abusing an African-American guy and an Asian guy inside the store, hurling racial names to them, and he had just been escorted. Unfortunately, I was getting off home, and he was coming out of the Safeway opposite side, and he started filthy racial bad names, and I just tried to ignore him, but then he pounced on me from behind. He hit me with a rod in my neck, and that's when I went down, and it started. You know, he punched on me. He took out his vest, that dirty vest, and he choked me, And I couldn't breathe for, I believe, 5 to 10 seconds.
Here's the thing about all of this, and I remember talking with you a year and a half ago about this. When the police arrested him, he said you were lucky he didn't kill you, because that was his intent. He wanted to kill you in that Safeway parking lot. And so I'm sitting here, Sandeep, and I'm wondering how in the world, if he admits that it was his attempt to kill you, why he was not charged with attempted murder.
That's the thing. I mean, I asked the prosecutor that why he wasn't charged, and the prosecutor told me, well, that charge would be very difficult to prove. And that's where his dad, David Crabb's influence come in picture. You know, I'm telling this openly today, that David Crabb owned the law in this Washington state. You know, and that's the reason this guy had been getting out for the last 17 years after committing 17 felonies, because of his dad. You know, his dad had been shielding his crime for the last 17 years. And this time, and I'm pretty sure, you know, he will come after me, but I shall be prepared. But, you know, anything can happen. If I get murdered, if I get killed by him, nothing will happen, because his dad, David Kraft, shall get him out again. It's simple. And then again, he will go for another innocent victim, because now he had been released in the community.
Last time we talked, you also told me that there were times, as you were recovering from this brutal beating, there were times where you wish that he had killed you. It was so bad.
Yes, because the pain was unbearable. I was in bed for 7 days, you know, trying to heal the injuries and the swelling in my head, and at times I thought it's better if I could have been dead, because the pain was unbearable. I just couldn't bear the pain. I mean, I was out of work for nearly 15 days. I was in bed for seven days. I just couldn't get up. It was such a pain. It was such a, you know, it still gave me nightmare those 2 weeks after the attack.
When and how did you find out that this guy's getting out of prison this week?
The judge sentenced him for 56 months of prison term in March 2019. When the sentencing happened, he already did serve, I believe, 18 months from September 17 till March 19. So I believe if I count the complete term, 56 months, he shouldn't get out before March or April 2022.
Yeah.
But now he's been released. I believe that's the influence of his dad, David Kraft. You know, it's simple. And I believe unfortunately I'm not a celebrity. I wish I could take his dad out, but I'm not a celebrity. You know, I'm just a common man. So it's a case of David and Goliath. I mean, I'm David, and David Kraft is Goliath. He's just a big celebrity. You know, he owned the law in this state. You know, he got such big influence that his criminal son is committing crime for the last 17 years. So every time he does a crime, the police caught him, his dad gets him out. This time also the same happened. You know, David Kraft gets his criminal son, William Kraft, out before the completion of the sentence term, due to complete in April 22, I believe.
Are you worried that this guy, William Kraft, do you think he's going to come after you to try to finish the job? I mean, he seems like he's quite psychotic.
I believe so.
If not you, do you believe that he will commit a violent attack on some other person of color?
Because he knows nothing else to do. You know, like I said, William Kraft is the purest form of evil. He is evil in human form. You know, it's simple. He is the evil. You know, it's pure evil in human form. So he knows nothing else to do. He only knows to kill people, to attack people. He only knows to commit crime. And I'm pretty sure he will try this on me again. And this time I shall be ready. You know, either he will kill me or I will kill him. But if he does kills me, if I get murdered, if I get killed, then, you know, never be surprised that he shall be, you know, released again. I'm pretty sure nothing will happen, because if I get murdered, if I get killed, his dad, David Kraft, shall get him out again. And then again, he will resume his career. He will try to look for another victim. Because I'm pretty sure, you know, this is a never-ending story. This will go on and on and on. You know, this will happen. You know, there is no cure for this.
Yeah.
He's going to commit this crime again and again, and every time his dad, David Kraft, shall get him out. It's simple, because David Kraft owned the law in Washington State. Nobody can do anything about it. And I fully wish I was a celebrity so that I can take him out, but unfortunately I'm not. I'm just a common man. I just don't have the resource like David Kraft has to take him out.
Well, so I understand your fear. Your concerns. I know you wanted to come on to warn everybody about the release of this this character. Sandeep, I'm sorry for what you're going through. I know this is very traumatic for you. I appreciate you being strong enough and bold enough to come out and speak up about this today.
Yes, I just want to warn the community that this could happen again. You know, this man doesn't know anything else to do. But this will happen again, and it might happen to me. If not, it's going to happen to some other innocent person.
I understand. All right. Well, stay safe, my friend, and let's stay in touch. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sandeep Ray, the victim of this brutal attack by a man named William Kraft, who this week getting out of prison a couple of years early, it appears, after a brutal attack. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
And what this story illustrates is what we've been talking about for years now, and that is this desire in our region to increase the number of criminals and the crimes that are committed, to make our streets more of a hellscape. And I will follow up later today on this insane proposal before the Seattle City Council. It got a hearing yesterday that would eliminate 12,000 misdemeanor cases. It would make it so that poor people and drug addicts could shoplift with impunity. They could walk into your home, throw your family to the floor during dinner time, and eat your family's meal, as long as they say that they're poor or a drug addict. And it would all happen with impunity. This is the madness of the people we have in office right now. So keep you posted on all of this as we proceed through the afternoon. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
So what do we do about it? A community activist, Ari Hoffman, he says you have to start voting differently. But he's got a unique way to push that message out. We'll talk to him about his guerrilla marketing tactics. Do that right after we check the news as we get rolling here. Glad you're with us on the Dory Monson Show. As I talked about yesterday, I think this is the most important election of my lifetime for a very simple reason. A couple of nights ago, there was a car trying to get out of a parking garage in downtown Seattle. It was pelted with all kinds of items. They wanted to do violence against the driver just because the driver wanted to freely move about. But what we're seeing more and more is a far left that is about imprisoning people, going to homes if they don't think the way that the mob believes they should think. And we're seeing this tyranny of the left, and it is so disconnected from any Democratic Party that I grew up with. And we're seeing it nationally with more rioting in Philadelphia and throughout the country. Last night, there was a billboard rolling around Seattle, and it had a picture of vehicles and buildings in flames. And it says at the top, "Are you tired of this? So are we. Vote Republican." Community activist Ari Hoffman had something to do with this. I'm not sure exactly what. I'll try to get to the bottom of that. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Ari, always good to talk with you.
Great to talk with you too, Dory, and great to hear you back on the air.
Thank you very much. Okay, so now the picture I got is a little bit cut off. So what is the text and the picture on the billboard?
So here's what it is. It's actually one of the Seattle police vehicles on fire during the riots that were originally happening at the end of May. And it says, "Are you tired of this? Vote Republican." At the bottom of it has a GoFundMe link. And what the GoFundMe link is, which is at GoFundMe and tired of this, it's for more things like this. I don't know if people saw it over the weekend, but somebody, and this one I had nothing to do with, somebody flew or rented an airplane and was flying a massive Trump banner over Seattle. I couldn't film it because it was on Saturday and I'm Sabbath observant, but that thing was flying over Seattle. I'm like, something's going on here. Anyway, what happened was we made this billboard because a bunch of people are just tired of nobody doing anything, nobody calling this out, and wondering why the local, even the local Republican parties aren't calling this out and saying, this is what you're voting for if you vote Democrat these days. The Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party we all grew up with. It's not the one some of us voted for before. And we need other options. We need other opportunities. And what's disappointing to me is 3 years ago, I actually went to one of the local Republican parties and I said to them, "Hey guys, we got all this desecration going on in Jewish cemeteries on the streets. If you just took a video camera out and filmed some of this and made it a commercial that said, had enough of this, vote for Republicans, you might actually get some traction in the state, in Seattle." And they said, "Well, we lose all the time." And I was shocked that they actually said that to me. So this is really an idea that's been, I guess, gestating for a long time, and we finally decided to do something about it. A bunch of people got together, some people who are involved in the party, mostly people who aren't, and decided to do something about it and just get our message out there.
But isn't that cynicism accurate, that you're just trying to hold the ocean back with a broom if you think that you could swing Seattle, the center part of Seattle, which is as far left as any city in the country?
What else can we do? Really, what else can we do? Look at what the city council is doing. They're getting rid of charging criminals because crime is spiking. They're opening injection sites in Seattle. And it has to be a multi-year, long-term effort. The Democrats didn't take power overnight. It was a multi-year effort. And as usual, the Republicans didn't show up for the fight. So now somebody's showing up and saying, "Hey, we're not putting up with this anymore." And it's going to take time. One billboard isn't going to do it. But over time, if you keep up with this kind of stuff and keep up the pressure, so many people are talking to me and saying they voted Republican for the first time in their lives, or they haven't voted Republican in years and they did it this election. Whether it was about Donald Trump or not about Donald Trump, they said whether it was about the president or not about the president, they were voting red the rest of the ticket just because they had enough of all this.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you're saying, Ari. The place where this is such an uphill battle is you're going to have to get the schools back, because right now the schools have become a one-party indoctrination center. And, you know, on my show, Jason Rantz, Todd Herman, we've all been compiling videos of teachers who berate children if they aren't following the leftist dogma. And until you start getting the schools back, and pop culture, of course, is radically left. So these forces, these influences that can actually change the minds of young people, until that starts to swing, I don't see a change coming.
Well, I'll give you a little ray of sunshine just because you brought up the schools. I've been doing public disclosure requests to find out how many kids are in Seattle public schools for this coming year. And the schools play an interesting little game. They don't reconcile their numbers till later in the year, so they don't lose federal funding and other funding, state funding, for the kids who graduated, for the kids who transferred out of the schools. So in about a month or so, they finally reconcile those numbers. But meanwhile, I've been watching it the past few months, and those numbers are dropping and dropping and dropping, which means the parents are finally waking up to this and saying, "We're not putting up with this garbage anymore," and pulling their kids from the system.
Yeah, and more parents have discovered, and this is why we have to get some of the federal or some of the state property tax funding back from the schools and into the hands of parents, because a lot of parents have set up their own personal private co-ops. They're hiring a teacher. Families of 6-7 people are banding together, getting their kids a decent education without all the propaganda. And I would love to see, and I've been talking with the folks at Washington Policy Center, it's outrageous that we're all still paying full freight for a schooling and education that isn't even close to 50% of efficiency with this at-home stuff. And so yeah, that's another step. That would be a huge step. That's why I think the school superintendent vote is so important, because that'll start restoring local control back to families instead of unions. And so there are all these things we could do if people would vote for just getting control of their kids, getting control of crime, getting control of our cities back. There are things we can do in 5 days to accomplish
100%. 100%. People got to stop saying there's nothing I can do and realize there's a lot they can do. And they just have to have the will to do it. And I know not everybody wants to be out there in public getting blamed for towing RVs or whatever it is, like me. But at the same time, they got to look and say, what can I do? And if they can't help out, if they don't want to be public, then donate. Then vote. You don't even have to give any money. Just, you know, give your vote over and, you know, maybe change things. But that's really what people got to do.
Yeah. Everybody asks me, why don't you move? Why don't, if you don't like things around here, why don't you move? And I say that I grew up in this city. I chose to raise my family in this city. I love this city, and you don't give up on what you love and who you love. And I just think that it is such a loser attitude to say, if you're not happy with what's going on, just go to Boise and everything will be fine there. Now, let's not give up on a city we love.
It'd be so much easier to do that, but we're not the kind of people that do that. And why should we have to move? Because they destroyed our city. No, if you like something, you fight for it and you fix it. It's like, think about an old classic car, for lack of a better analogy. Old classic car, it looks like a piece of garbage because it's all rusted out or whatever, but if you put the right effort into it, you can have a beautiful, beautiful piece of machinery that is worth a ton of money. So are we actually going to put in the effort it takes to do that? It's about having the effort rather than calling the scrapyard.
Okay, were you rolling your Are You Sick of This Seattle's on Fire billboard today?
Well, today I got to double check, but last night we hit the East Precinct, we hit Fremont, Capitol Hill was definitely entertained to see us, and hit downtown, and we're going to put it a few other places. I mean, I had the idea that when we're done with the thing, maybe we shouldn't save it, maybe we should just put it in a homeless encampment and leave it sitting there for a while. I mean, it's not like it's going to get pulled away, and we'll see if the city actually clears that one out. But yeah, it should be going around the city through Election Day.
Did you have any people attacking your rolling billboard?
So far, no, which okay. You don't want it to happen, but the video would be fun to watch, but you don't want that to happen to anybody.
No, absolutely. I appreciate fighters like you. I appreciate people who think that there's still a region worth fighting for. So keep me posted if there are any interesting tidbits associated with the Rolling Billboard campaign.
Absolutely. Just following your example, Dory. Thanks for doing all you do.
All right. Thank you. Ari Hoffman, community activist extraordinaire. So keep an eye out. It says, are you sick of this? So are we. Vote Republican, with pictures of Seattle police cars on fire. What do you think? Can we turn around this ship? You text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. A few minutes ago, there were dueling rallies down in Florida. Very different optics. Joe Biden did a drive-up rally. There were about 200 cars, and some of them had single passengers. Some of them might have had, you know, two, three, four people. But you didn't hear any reaction to what Joe Biden was saying. They would honk their car horns occasionally. Meanwhile, Donald Trump in Tampa, they're estimating that he may have about 15,000 people at his rally there. Florida is in play. The polls have tightened in Florida. They've also, Democrats were considered safe to regain Michigan. But now Michigan appears to be back in play for the president. In fact, a Democrat congresswoman, Representative Debbie Dingell, she told CNN this morning that she's getting nervous because a lot of auto workers are starting to break late for the president.
It's tightening. It's tightening here in Michigan. I am out there probably doing more than I should, but I'm always masked. And yesterday I had some of the auto workers who I thought, we're going to go back to Joe Biden, were very clear with me last night. They were voting for President Trump. And I think what we're seeing now is that on the ground, people have to turn out their votes. As you noted, President Trump's coming back on Friday. My grapevine tells me he'll probably be back again before Election Day.
Now, that's a Democratic congresswoman who says she's very, very nervous because the auto workers that she's talking to say they're breaking for Trump. And that's because, you know, at the debate last week, Joe Biden said that he wants to get rid of oil. He's tried to backtrack on that, but the auto industry doesn't want to hear that he wants to get rid of oil. And then the president today got a big boost economically as the GDP for the third quarter was up 33.1%, the biggest quarterly gain in history. And the president is out trying to make the case that black unemployment, Hispanic unemployment, women unemployment was at an all-time low before the coronavirus. Wages were at an all-time high. This is a black man who said that when he first came to this country, he just watched hatred on TV news. And then he started thinking for himself.
I support President Trump because I have been I've been working on the floor for many years when I came here in the United States in 2015. And all I was watching was CNN. So I have a lot of hatred for him. And one day I decided to say, you know what? I don't know much about him. So let's go and pray. And when I pray, God opened my heart. And that's why I become a really good fan of him. And here in this earth, every time somebody would be, you know, somebody would be a trash or talk bad about, I would be here to defend him. So,
So he watched CNN and was taught to hate. Then he opened his heart. And we should all open our heart, no matter where we are politically. Okay, we've got a lot more to come. Check the news for you, and then the fastest 15. It's coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.